We welcome in studio with us right now, Chef Adam Smith. He is, well, I almost said leader, man, but see, I've been listening to our conversation for like the last 10 or 15 minutes. Maybe I shouldn't say leader, but...
Don't take me to your leader.
Yeah. Adam Smith with Lorain County Community College's Sage and Seed Restaurant. We've been very excited to have this conversation for quite some time now, reading up on Sage and Seed for a few weeks. What a really cool concept this is. For those that aren't familiar with what Sage and Seed is, just want to kind of give you a few minutes here to just kind of explain what it is exactly.
All right. Well, so Sage and Seed is actually a culmination of a student-run, what we call a capstone class. So our senior students will run the front and the back of the house. So they are in their final phases, so we've got them all the tools and the skill sets to go ahead and go into this. So we devise a menu that is just as good, if not better, than some of the top restaurants in the area, and we put them into a stress test inside of the kitchen. So we have everything from great appetizers to salads. Everything's made fresh. Our bread is fresh. I mean, it is definitely a stress test. So we're preparing them to go out in the industry. And, you know, we throw a couple quirks at them. A little chopped activity goes inside of there and cutthroat. To get them to get the skill sets in there. What we do is we open that to the public. So we are open on Tuesday and Wednesday night. We open from 5 to 7:30. And what we offer is our full menu, and you are being served by the students in the front of the house while the chefs in the back are preparing it for you. So it's a real interesting experience.
You said it's kind of like Hell's Kitchen, right?
Well, actually, it is. It's very much like Hell's Kitchen. Our final night is a Hell's Kitchen. I provide two teams separate, blue and gold. And they get their mystery box on Monday and are required to have a four-course meal by Tuesday night. It's our first one is sold out on March 6th. Our next one comes up May 8th, but it's a $25 four-course meal that is planned out, and the teams really go at it with each other as far as skill set. And they get a little food network on me every now and then, which gets a little crazy because some of the stuff just doesn't belong there. But for the most part, they really put together some really interesting plates.
Sure. When you talk about the front of the house and the back of the house, I think of Top Chef and how they always have the people who are at the front and kind of handle everything. And to an extent, I mean, that's almost as important as the guys in the back cooking the meal, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So that's the important thing. That, you know, there's always been this wall that they this invisible wall created between front and back of the house. So we chop that down. We show them that each has to work together. I mean, it has to happen for these students. I mean, their product is in the back. It's like, who's going to get it out to your customer? So who's going to represent that out there? So it's a pretty good camaraderie between them. And what happens is they switch. So the ones in the front now go to the back. And so they understand what it's like. You know, there's a lot of pressure.
Sure. Do you have people who might enjoy the front more than the back? Or maybe, I don't know, kind of learn things, I guess, as you're in the front of the house, too.
Well, you do. You know, there's people that, you know, are all different skill sets in the kitchen that may really interact with the customers on a great basis and really front people. I mean, most maitre d's, some of them come out of kitchens. Hmm. You know, they really know a lot about the food. They're great entrepreneurs as far as getting it out there to the guest. It's just it's a great experience for them. So we see students that have no skill set at all going out there. Next thing you know, they're twirling their trays, you know, they got their ties flying back. And they're very, very good with the guests, too. And so it's quite an experience for them because you never know when you need to take that second job or, you know, there's nothing available for them to work in the industry right now. So it's a good fill-in. Plus, they learn a good craft.
And how many students are involved with this program right now?
So we have about 70 students in process right now. The program's been an academic program for 5 years. It's a nationally recognized associate degree of the business. And so they get everything from the fundamental classes of business and purchasing all the way through world cuisine. Then they go into the capstone class. They go into bake shops, advanced bake shops. And our recent class that we launched off is a farm to fork class, in which I've had a chance over this past summer to develop 5 local farms that are serving us from cattle to farm-raised tilapia to milk that's being made in the cheese to 3 farms that we actually have product on. So all that comes back into the school and gets put out through our restaurant. So it's a pretty amazing thing that we got going.
Hey, you're the guy to ask. Yeah, I mean, how important is that food science to being a chef, to understanding where it's coming from and why it is what it is?
Well, you know, most people think you open a box and there it is. So you really have to go out and you have to see the hardship of it. And, you know, I joke around with some of the administration that, you know, this morning I was milking a cow and this afternoon I'm fishing for dinner and, you know, I'm planting things. And so our students are just as active. So they really learn to appreciate, you know, everything that gets into it and what it's supposed to be, and they don't throw as much in the trash can either because it's there. They understand it's got to be used for something.
Along those same lines, not too long ago, I believe you guys hosted something called Brunch with a Farmer, where you had a lot of those farms come in. And I think that's a really cool culmination, too, because you get a chance to meet every part of the process, right?
Every part of it. So that morning, my staff, my students actually, and my staff, we put together this huge brunch. And so, you know, we had 10 people omelet station going on with all students back there. I mean, we're decked out in whites and the hats. So it's quite a show. And so the farmers came in. It was the first year that they were able to see their product go from fresh to cooked right in front of their eyes with the students doing it. So they provided us sausage, the pork for the sausage. We made a nice breakfast sausage. They made the cheese for our blintzes, you know, our cheese crepes. And so by the time we were done, I mean, we were deep into the farm.
Yeah, it sure sounds that way. We had a lot of fun talking with the Farmers Bureau about that. We had them on a couple weeks ago to preview that, and it just sounded like a really cool experience, not only for the farmers, but it sounded like a really cool experience for the students also. And I think, as you're describing here too, for the kids, it's cool because they get every aspect of this operation, whether it's the host, the first face that a customer sees when they walk in the door, you know, or if it's an experience being a waiter, being a busboy or busgirl, or, you know, being a chef, or being someone that's kind of omniscient in all this, looking down on everybody, seeing how the operation runs. It's really fascinating how this program allows these kids to do every last bit of all that.
It's very important, you know, start to finish. Each student will find a niche. Some will be executive chefs, some will be line cooks, some will work at cafeterias, hospitals, but they're getting the skill sets that the nationally recognized larger culinary institutes are getting. We're giving that here. You know, my background is Johnson & Wales, so back in the day, I passed hallways with Emeril Lagasse. I mean, we didn't really know who he was back then, just this big guy that just pushed us out of the way, like, hey, you're in my way.
Kept shouting BAM all the time.
Now I know what that BAM meant. But, you know, so these were trendsetters that went out. So we were really following that same mold here, and the students are really adapting well to it. So when they get out in this industry, whether they stay in Lorain County or they go to another city, they're going to have those same skill sets, and they're providing that, and they're showing us that through that restaurant as well. You get to look in through the glass. So if the chef's not happy back there, you'll know which student he's not happy with, but you'll see the camaraderie between the students and the chefs and getting the food out and just the passion that they have. They have a nice little push going on there, and they're really detailed.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Oh, the push is always important. You were told us about that earlier.
Yeah, we like to turn the tables. I mean, we love to have you sit and stay, but we got to have food in front of you, too.
Understood. We're talking with Chef Adam Smith here with Lorain County Community College's Sage and Seed Restaurant. And, boy, you guys aren't messing around with that menu. I looked at that a little bit earlier today, and I thought, holy cow. I mean, this is really impressive. Lobster, nachos. You guys got four different kinds of salad. I looked at the chicken thigh jambalaya. I mean... Who puts this menu together?
It's actually something that I put together, and it's based upon a lot of the recipes that the students have gone through throughout all their classes. So we try and keep them with stuff that they've worked with before that's comfortable, and then we throw a new twist into it. So whatever's nouveau, whatever's happening, whatever's trendy, we try and do different cultures. So these were things that, you know, I sit down at the end of the day, I said, what can we do? What can we change this thing? You know, always keep the food simple, but create it to be your own. So flavors that people understand, but just do something different with it. So the jambalaya was just one of the dishes that I loved as a kid, you know, and I love all the spices and the sausages. So we make the sausage and we take the confit of the thigh, which we cook it in its own oil and fat for like 4 hours. It's like it just tears off in your mouth, but it's so flavorful and there's a broth. And, you know, students like putting all those components together. They like that challenge.
How did this idea come together? You told me a little while ago that, you know, this is something that's done at bigger places on a larger scale where they actually have like a hotel and a resort where you kind of get real good first world experience, which is certainly applicable here as well because, I mean, this is great firsthand real world experience. As you mentioned to me earlier, look, you know, I'm going to be hard on you to make it easier when that customer comes to the door and they're angry because they're spending 50 or 100 bucks a plate or whatever it is. So that way, when you get out there and you're dealt with that situation, you know how to handle it.
Right. Right. I mean, it is, you know, just the whole experience that they get. Some of these bigger schools, I went to Johnson & Wales, they had a hotel. So I was working in that hotel, you know, wearing the tuxedo suit, you know, doing table side and, you know, every now and then catching the cart on fire. But they taught you you know, how to just keep that poker, how to work with the customer, because that's the most important thing. The skill sets they get, these kids are really going to turn out to do some great stuff. Yeah.
Sure. As far as chefs coming through a program like that, I would think that's one of the things you kind of overlook. You think, I enjoy eating food, I enjoy creating that food, but sometimes you forget, hey, you got to deal with the customer too.
Well, it's very important. Well, you have to deal with customers, you have to deal with purveyors, you have to learn those communication skills. One of the biggest things I tell them in one of their first classes is create those relationships. Mm-hmm. Do them early. This is an industry where people that know people get you into those great jobs and those roles that advance you throughout your career.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to have those skill sets to be able to listen, to be able to communicate, to identify what's going on around you. The chefs in the kitchen, you have to have eyes all over the place. There's hot pans. There's people walking with knives. So you really have to be somewhat coordinated and have a good balance.
That sounds a lot like our industry.
Yeah,
you're not
like
supposed
that.
To burn any bridges whatsoever, because you just never know when you might need to cross that bridge a little bit later on. But that's fascinating, because you're right. I think, especially in that industry, you want to work with people that not only you know and you like, but people that you trust. I mean, we're talking about suppliers, you know, whether it's a beer vendor, you mean, or if it could be a local produce supplier too, right? I mean, you want to build these relationships with people that you know and people that you trust, because, I mean, let's just say that one of these kids goes on to be a general manager somewhere, right? I mean, you've got to have good people that you know and that you trust. And I think it's cool that they get a nice little taste of every aspect of the operation. But like, where did this idea, how did all this come together? I mean, because the restaurant itself is relatively new. Yeah. How long has this been in the works?
So the restaurant actually was the course itself was actually launched when the college took on the culinary program, and it kind of took a while to get conception going. And so it started off with this idea of, let's just do four courses. They pick one of each from this. And so the students in the kitchen, 18 students originally were in the kitchen and 20 were out front to service 60 people. And so I looked at that as not challenging. So I turned around and said, let's make this challenging. Let's create this menu up to date. Let's put some pressure into it. Let's see what the people are doing in Chicago and Los Angeles and the big food cities in New York. And let's culminate that into a menu here. And let's do this thing. And so what happened was, we originally started with a class. And now the class has actually turned into this big restaurant that we're only open 16 weeks. And you have to make a reservation for now, because the food is extremely well priced. We are an academic program, so we don't do I think we have a 12-ounce New York strip steak for $16. You could go anywhere else and you'll pay $35. It's the same quality. It's the same cut. It's graded by the USDA. And it's just one of these things where people come in and get to see what these students are becoming. So the actual reason behind the Sage and Seed, the college is built on farmland. And one of our deans of allied nursing is Hope Moon, whose parents actually donated the land. So this restaurant actually sits on what is called Lot 41, which is actually where they had their farm. So Sage and Seed actually kind of refers to, the sage would be the wise instructor, and the seed is actually our student. And so that's kind of where this all came through. So we're still in that phase of finding our identity, not with the food so much, but what we're going to do with this restaurant as it continues to grow.
Well, that's a deep name. I wasn't thinking of that. That's impressive, though.
Yeah.
I'm curious, as a student, are they getting graded on the meals they prepare there?
Or? Oh, they do. They do. So we have evaluations for everything. So the original day they come in, got to be on time. If you're not on time, you're missing points. So we teach them, you know, timeliness is everything. Nobody's going to hire you if you don't show up on time. So they're there. They're in uniform. Their uniform is now graded so that they look presentable. And then they're evaluated throughout their service. So how did you work? Were you, were you sanitary during the whole thing? Did you wash things off? Were you working well with your teammate? How was your final product? Did it taste good? Was the appearance good? What is your close down? Are you helping clean, or you just give up at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. So they start and they finish with the same speed as they walk through that door, with that same passion.
That's fascinating stuff. All right, so we'll close out on this, because you close out a meal with desserts. Mm-hmm. We'll close out this interview on a question about desserts as well, because on this show, we talk about food a lot.
We do.
And we talk about desserts quite a bit. So I'm anxious to find out what kinds of desserts are on the menu, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, you want to keep it somewhat simple, but you want these kids to put their own twist on a simple dish. What kinds of desserts are served?
So one of the things they do is they make their own cheesecake there. So they do all the graham cracker crust. They do the cheese. The cheese is actually made from milk that we get from Wellington. So it's made into cream cheese through Lake Erie Creamery, and it's brought back to us. It's fantastic. You know, they scrape the vanilla beans, and then they take all fresh berries from local, and they put it on top of there. So it's more of a simple standard, but it's got their own touch to it. One of the dishes that they do, they actually make their own vanilla bean ice cream as well. We have a gelato and ice cream maker. So they go up and they make the ice cream. And so we have this Bananas Foster. And so though I don't let them into the dining room with the carts to blaze the thing up, you know, people can watch it happening. So they sprinkle their own ingredients on it, a little bit of cinnamon, you know, a little bit of brown sugar and things like that. And they enjoy the flame. They do it in a kind of a deconstructed dish. So it's pretty neat what happens and goes out. And then they have a triple chocolate mousse cake, which I'm not even sure what kind of chocolate they're using anymore because it tastes nothing like I have. I think they might have snuck something in. But, you know, that's how these chefs do it. They don't give you all this. So we're proud of them for actually trying to find their own identity. But it's smooth and it's silky and it's their own. Wow. It was a recipe they provided. So very proud of these students and what they're doing.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds fantastic. There's a secret in there to that mousse they're not telling
you
about,
though, right? Yeah, I'll find it.
I was going to say, you can massage your way through and figure it out, right?
I'll find it.
All right, nice. Well, Adam, this is a lot of fun, man. We could do this for another 2 hours. This is great, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us here in studio.
Thank you for having me.